Higher Standards Podcast. This is episode 29. Higher Standards is brought to you by Gamers Vault in Medford, New Jersey. Go check them out. If you're in Jersey, it's an amazing store. They are now open, and you can also check out their website, gamersvaultonline.com. With me this week is the Queen of the Dragons herself. She's been everywhere lately, Miss Renee. What's going on, Renee?
I'm not sure how I became Queen of the Dragons.
Well, it's,
just take it.
Yeah, that's your name now, so...
I was expecting Queen of the Elves. Now I'm Queen of the Dragons.
Yeah. Well, maybe that'll change once Dragons rotates. But until then, you are maybe. Queen of the Dragons. Also with us is Mr. Chad.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Okay, so lots going on. I am sort of back. I'm still out of the country, but I have...
Yeah, where are you exactly?
Well, I'm not allowed to say at this moment, sir, but...
Can you give continent?
I don't really think I'm supposed to, honestly.
Okay, no worries.
Are you in our hemispheres?
No. I'm not a.
We can make this into 20 questions.
Yeah, I'm not a geography expert, but I'm pretty sure I'm in a different hemisphere. What?
Nothing.
All right, so Renee, what's been going on this week? I've been hearing your name a lot lately.
Yeah, I've been everywhere. So this past weekend, my episode with Angelo went up from Imp's Prison on Women in Magic, where we tried to have a more in-depth discussion that was actually talking and discussing these issues that keep arising and having the counterpoints available to talk to. So, you know, isn't giving women more of a spotlight just to give women more of a spotlight? More harm than good. So we went into all of that. I was also on Cast from Exile, but that was like 2 weeks ago and it just got posted this week. So we're good there.
And you pretty much talked about the same thing, right?
Yeah, we talked. So Cast from Exile we did before the second article on SCG came out. So we only talked about Megan's part and why these articles keep happening. Right. And then Imp's Prison was more in line with both articles and as a response to the second article that came out on SCG.
Okay. And I listened to the full Imp's Prison, and I got to say, that was an amazing episode. You guys did a great job, and hopefully everybody else out there listens to it also.
Yeah.
And realize that if you do listen to it and you don't agree with it, that's fine.
Yeah.
But we want to start that conversation and get people talking about it versus it just being in the background all the time.
Yeah, it's got to start somewhere.
Yep. Absolutely. So, speaking of starting somewhere, let's start with some standard lists, shall we?
All right.
Okay.
So this week was the first week of the Monday Night Higher Standards League over at Gamers Vault in Medford, New Jersey. Check them out. Really good store. And the winner of week one was Eddie Gamble with Who Wants to Talk About His List?
We'll run through it really quick. excuse me. Red Green Devotion.
All right.
So he's got 4 Elvish Mystic, 4 Rattleclaw Mystic, 4 Sylvan Caryatid, 4 Courser of Kruphix, 4 Whisperwood Elemental, 3 Genesis Hydra, 3 Death Mist Raptor, 3 Pelucranos, 3 Dragonlord Tarka, 3 Xenagos the Reveler, and 1 Hornet Queen. As far as lands, he's running 4 Nykthos, which are the special lands. Other than that, he's got all the red-green lands that you would expect. In the sideboard, he's got 3 Hornet Nest, 2 Ugin the Spirit Dragon, 3 Plummet, 1 Arc Lightning, 2 Nissa World Waker, 2 Roast, and 2 Den Protector.
Nice. I love how these decks have just gone completely away from any spells. All creatures and walkers. He doesn't need spells for anything, apparently.
I mean,
I like
just,
it.
Just trying to get to the beatdowns fast, that's it.
Yeah, and the naming convention for this is a little deceptive, and you'll see this later on when we start talking about the Grand Prix. It's not really red-green devotion. It's more green-red devotion. It's essentially a green devotion deck splashing a little bit of red. In this case, I think he's only got Xenagos and Atarka in red.
And you know what? At least it's called devotion instead of like Atarka green or something.
Right. Yeah, so... yeah.
Good job there, Eddie.
Yeah, good job, Ed, and... Again, the Higher Standards League happens every Monday night. It's a competitive standard tournament, and whoever wins each week gets their deck lists here on the show. And if they're doing it the way I believe they are, there is a cumulative point system where at the end of each month, whoever has the most points gets an even bigger prize.
Yep, that's what that was mentioned. No, the prize I heard was that they are getting free admission to all the tournaments the next month.
Ah, perfect. That's right, because that's the way he used to do it when he worked at his old store. So congratulations, Ed, and keep it going. All right, we also had a Star City Open in Baltimore. Renee, you were there, right?
I was.
How was it?
It was an awesome time. Shameless plug, there were a lot of women there.
Oh, nice.
There was a woman like every 10th seat, I would say, 10th table.
Excellent.
Which is an amazing turnout. I got to meet a lot of really cool people. Chris Lansdell was down from Canada. So he was there with us. He let me borrow his Mardu Dragons list.
How'd you like it?
At the last minute. I really liked it. The mana is really hard, especially for his list, because all of the creatures have double red almost.
Right.
Okay.
But your early creatures are white, like Soulfire Grandmaster and Monastery, or not Seeker of the Way.
Yeah.
But then all of your middle creatures are red, and then all of the late things you need are black. But then you also need black early for Crackling Doom.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's rough, but like the Crackling Doom is an awesome spell for this format right now with Ojutais and Solemgars running around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really good card. I've always loved Mardu, you know me. So before we actually get into the standard portion, I want to give a big congratulations to my good friend Bernard Liberati, who made top 8 at the Legacy Premier IQ on Sunday.
So. Oh, that's right. So during the standard event, I got to play Roger.
Roger?
Right?
Okay.
Or was Roger, it was it Robert Vaughn?
Yeah, Robert. There we go. I'm terrible with names. Robert. And then the table next to us was Bernard.
That's hilarious.
So there were three of us right there, and we're talking about the podcast and everything else, and people are looking at us like we're crazy, and I'm just like, you're missing out.
Nice.
So, yeah, congrats to Bernard for, I think he ended up in sixth place overall, but still really good. He's always been a big Legacy guy, so congrats. Now, moving right into the standard portion. Chad, take us down. What happened?
All right, in standard, Andrew Boswell was first to win. I know that you guys made fun of me. It was way back, like episode 2 or 3, that I was like, Andrew Boswell is one of those players that I've always enjoyed watching him play, and
right.
This is the first Star City Open he's ever won.
Oh, no kidding, because I've heard his name a lot.
Yeah, he's the sleeveless guy. That's what
okay.
he goes at. He always wears a Toy Wiz or Toy Biz shirt. But yeah, congrats, Andrew Boswell. And he was playing Abzan Aggro. This is basically the list that we've always been seeing. He's running 4 Jarmoka's Command. He's actually running 4 Warden of the First Tree. 2 Herald of Torment in the main, which is a little off.
Yeah,
but,
I can see it. I mean, I guess in the mirror it's good to just bestow onto one of your guys and just fly over.
Yeah,
and
exactly. You could see there. And 1 Sorok, the Hunt Caller. In the board, he's running all the hate you would expect from Abzan. He's got 3 Hunt the Hunter, which is interesting. 3 Self-Inflicted Wound and 4 Thoughtseize for those control matches.
Yeah, I like Hunt the Hunter, honestly. Because green is everywhere, as we've talked about on the show.
Yes.
And Hunt the Hunter is amazing.
Yeah, it's a very good card.
Yeah.
He, I think, what was it? He was able to take out a Polukranos with Hunt the Hunted on his Fleece Mane that he already monstrous'd. It was pretty impressive.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
nice.
Yeah, look out for that card going forward.
Yeah, unfortunately, I did not get to see any of the coverage as I've been on the road, but it sounded pretty good. What's next?
We had Green Red Devotion by Chris Anderson.
Okay.
Which looks just about like all the other Green Red Devotion lists, except that this one has Polukranos.
Yes.
Yay.
And then
Polukranos is making a comeback.
Yeah, and I think Eddie Gamble had that in his list, right? The one we just read.
I think
read
so
from.
Too. Yeah.
He did.
Yep.
I wouldn't say it's an identical list because this list runs 4 Plummets in the board, where Eddie was running 3 and 2 Ugin, and Chris is only running 1 Ugin. There's a little other unsimilarities, but
the core is
why not,
the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not run 3 Polukranos when you're running 4 Nykthos?
And honestly, this is one of the most popular decks in Standard right now, I gotta say. And
yeah.
They all vary. It's like by 1 or 2 cards here and there. Like some will only run like maybe 2 Polukranos. And maybe some decks will run a 4th Dragonlord Atarka, but they're all pretty much the same.
The cards that I noticed that are the game winners for this deck are Hornequeen, Whisperwood Elemental, and Dragonlord Atarka.
Yeah, all really good cards.
Yeah, those are the cards that it seems like a lot of the decks almost just instantly scoop to if you get them off.
Mm-hmm. In third place, I actually wanted to talk about this list, was good old Brad Nelson playing Bant Megamorph. It's similar to decks we've seen before, but I felt it was worthy of going over the list once. So if you guys will indulge me, he's got a den full of raptors. He's got 4 Elvish Mystics, 4 Fleece Mane Lions, 1 Rattleclaw Mystic, 2 Sylvan Caryatid, 4 Corsair of Kruphix, and 3 Dragonlord Ojutai. So he's got your core green deck, and then Ojutai. For Planeswalkers, he's got 2 Ajani Steadfast, which, again, a guy that never really got much love. You see him pop up here and there, but when you pair him with Dragonlord Ojutai, he's pretty amazing.
Yes.
For spells, he's got 3 Disdainful Strokes, 3 Dromoka's Commands, and 2 Valorous Stance. So a little bit of counter, a little bit of removal, and a lot of options as far as Dromoka's Command goes. He's running 24 lands of the Bant variety, and then in the board he's got 3 Hornet Nest, which is so good. I love Hornet Nest against any kind of aggro deck.
Mm-hmm.
3 Mastery of the Unseen, which is amazing in this kind of a deck. Another Disdainful Stroke, another Dromoka's Command, 2 Plummets, another Valorous Stance, 2 Elspeth, 2 Glare of Heresy. I like this list. I really like this list. In fact, I'm considering playing this in the free 1K this weekend.
Nice.
Who was it that said Bant was going to be a thing?
It's some woman that talks a lot and goes on a lot of podcasts. I don't know.
Well, you weren't around last week, so somebody had to pick up the slack.
No, but you were talking about Bant even before Dragons came out. So
that's true.
Yeah, as soon as spoilers started happening, I was like, Bant will be a thing.
Mm-hmm. And you were not incorrect.
So I watched one or two of him piloting this while he was being on coverage, because Brad Nelson was on coverage a lot over the weekend. And
really? Get out.
Yes.
No way. And you would think he wrote for Star City or something.
Yeah.
And Ajani Steadfast was a big winner when he paired it with Den Protector, because he was able to get through almost everything.
I never thought about that combo.
It was very nice.
Ooh, very nice. Yeah, because Den Protector, God, that's such a good card. Everything about that card is just amazing. What were they thinking,
The other fun thing is you can easily use the Den Protector to fight something, and if it lives, you don't have to worry about anything blocking it.
Yeah. So the fourth place deck is another deck I really fell in love with when I saw the spoiler, so I'd love it if somebody covered this as well.
Sure. This was by Kevin Jones. He has recently appeared on Cast from Exile, I've heard. And he is running Jeskai Aggro. He's got Creatures 15, 3 Goblin Rabblemaster, 4 Mantis Rider, 4 Soulfire Grandmaster, 2 Stratus Dancer, 2 Dragonlord Ojutai. Lands, he's got 26. The awkward ones are nothing. It's all Jeskai related. There's no, what am I looking for?
No special lands, no dragon lands.
Yeah, and spells, he's got 19, 3 Dig Through Time, 4 Lightning Strike, 3 Ojutai's Command.
Oh, yeah.
4 Stokes of Flames, 3 Valorous Stance, and 2 Hordling Outburst. In the board, he's running 2 Ration Cleric, because red hate is great, 3 Mastery of the Unseen, 3 Disdainful Stroke, 1 Negate, 1 Elspeth Sun's Champion, 3 Anger of the Gods, 1 Glare of Heresy, and 1 Roast.
So obviously you saw why I love this deck.
Yeah, anything that has Ojutai's Command, I think you're just going to drool over from now on.
Pretty much. And hey, it's legit, and it's an interesting deck. I guess it's aggro, but it's got a lot of mid-rangey aspects to it also. It's got Ojutai, it's got Dig Through Times.
Yeah, I put it more in the mid-range, just because he's trying to get his fast creatures down, but he doesn't have as many of them.
Yeah.
And he's got enough counter that it can be considered that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say mid-range, especially with the Stratus Dancer, which you're not really going to play before turn 4 normally.
Right.
And Soulfire Grandmaster is, of course, optimized once you get to turn 4.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, he gives himself so many options with this deck. Between the Valorous Stances, either protecting his creatures or killing creatures, the Ojutai's Command, which gives you just a whole slew of options. He can go more aggressive, he can go more mid-rangey with Ojutai. It's a really solid-looking deck.
Yeah, being able to bring back Soulfire Grandmaster is always good.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I definitely wanted to stop on that list. And Ojutai's Command, by the way, for those keeping track, is 95 cents now, TCG mid. When I started talking about it a month ago, it was maybe 60 cents, so it's on the way up.
Yeah, I think the only thing that might keep it down, because I do think it's still going to rise, like you, but the only thing that might keep it down was also the Biobox promo. So
true. All right.
fifth place.
Yeah.
We've got Green Red Megamorph, which is about what you would expect. It's Megamorph, but this is more of a Green Red Devotion.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's just, yep. It's got four Nykthos. It's all Green Devotion, no spells. Just, again, different variations of the creatures. Like this one's only running one Pelucranos and only two Xenagos, where it's got more of some other spells.
Yes.
It's got a Temur Sabertooth.
Yep. In sixth place, we had Mono Red Goblins, which is pretty interesting. It's
if you need a deck that's under $100,
yeah,
might even be less than that.
and if you're looking for a deck that gets a hell of a lot better after Origins, this is it.
So here we've got Rebel Masters at $10 a piece, so there's 40. I'm even trying to think of what we got.
Biggest thing would be the sideboard. He's got four Eidolon of the Great Rebels, and they are a little pricey right now.
Yeah, those are just getting.
$12, so there's 80. Yeah, no, this deck is under $100.
That's good, though.
Congratulations.
Yep.
Red is always cheap.
Pretty much. In seventh, we have a different type of mono red. This one's called Mono Red Devotion, and this is what I like to call Big Red. It's just a mono red with a lot of bigger creatures, and then, of course...
It tastes like cinnamon. Sorry, I had to do it.
I have tea that tastes like Big Red gum.
How do you now?
It actually has cinnamon in it along with the black leaves, and it tastes like Big Red gum. It's amazing.
After a while, cinnamon burns my tongue. I just keep it in too long, I guess.
So anyway, Mono Red Devotion. This is pretty much exactly what you'd expect. Like on the top end, he's got four Thunderbreaks and four Stormbreaths. He's running four Eidolons in the main. He's also running Fanatic of Mogus because Red Devotion.
Yeah, this is a deck we haven't seen at all.
No,
and this is why really
not
cool.
Why not have a Pooferos?
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Early first episode plug. Thank you.
Oh, you'll never let that down.
I know.
It's in a title now.
It's on tape. yeah, I think that would be a good addition. Maybe just because he's going, like Jason said, he's going big. The four Dragon Whisper is what's hitting me. I don't know what you guys think about that. I think that card is awesome.
Yeah, I think it's a good card. And when that was first spoiled, that's when I thought Red Devotion would actually be a thing. It kind of never really happened. But yeah, I think it's a perfect piece of this. It's a good two-drop. Gives you two Red Devotion. He's running three Nykthos, so he's going for the Red Devotion as much as he can. I like
so
it.
So I'm super happy to see Dragon Whisper.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, that card's super sweet.
That's what we're talking about, right?
I know. No. I'm just Rennie saying I'm tired. Happy to see it. I am very tired.
Yeah.
Did you hear all those podcasts I've been on in a week?
That's true. For those of you that don't know, Dragon Whisper is two red. It's a 2/2 human shaman. For one red, Dragon Whisper gains flying until end of turn. For one and a red, Dragon Whisper gains +1/+0 until end of turn, and it has formidable. For four and red, put a 4/4 red dragon creature with flying onto the battlefield. Activate this ability only if you control a creature with total power 8 or greater.
Oof. Man,
if you control creatures with total power, which he can easily do.
Yeah, I mean, that's not hard at all. Yeah, if you've got the mana to pump into this guy, he's really good.
Yes.
Why not add Porphyros to it anyway?
Well, I think...
What's Ash Cloud Phoenix doing, really?
Well, I think Pooferos is a lot better when you're running things like Dragon Fodder and Hordling Outburst.
It is funny that you mentioned that. One Ash Cloud Phoenix is kind of weird.
Yeah. It's just kind of filler, probably.
Yeah, but two in a red with all of this devotion, you could totally be giving everybody fire breathing.
It's true. It's true.
Fanatic Amogus, he's now like a 6/2.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Closing out the top eight is yet another green-red devotion list from Al Spielman. That name sounds familiar. It's more the same, though he's actually got one spell. He's got a Singleton Crater's Claw on the main.
I think that's
and
correct.
He's playing Surok.
He is, yeah. But he's still playing Pelucranos as well. And only two Atarka. So again, just fudging numbers a little bit, taking some away, adding some. The same basic shell, though.
Quarter calling in the sideboard.
Yes, I did notice that.
That's a good call.
Why not have a Singleton Crater's Claws in the deck when you have Devotion? I mean, it's one of those cards that you can just win a game.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been finished off with Crater's Claws many a times, so I definitely know what that's all about. Now, that was the top eight. Moving on with the rest of the top, I think they posted the top 32 lists. I'm going down. I'm just seeing a lot of the same decks. Mardu Dragons, more Green Red Devotion, a Mono Black aggro. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing anything else very different from what we've been talking about over the last couple of months since Dragons came out. Does anybody see anything else they want to mention before we move on?
All right, I'll mention one. It's the 23rd place by James Buckingham. He's playing Abzan Reanimator. Ooh. The reason I'm mentioning this is because it's got four Grey Merchant of Asphodel, and I know that a lot of people are looking to bring him back once Origins.
Yeah, we've seen a lot released. of good mono black love.
The way he's reanimating is through Whip of Erebos, and it seems like he's not trying to win on Whip. He's trying to win on a card called Rally the Ancestors.
Oh God!
This is a card a lot of people, like, we know Secure the Waste is one of those cards, but this card is X, white. It's an instant. Return each creature card with converted mana cost X or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. Exile those creatures at the beginning of your next upkeep. Exile Rally the Ancestors. So it seems like he's just trying to fill his entire graveyard with this deck.
Yeah, and I can say I've played against variants of this deck online, and when you don't know this is coming, it's just like a huge shock, because he goes, okay, end of turn, Rally the Ancestors for 5, and he's got 2 Grey Merchants and a whole bunch of other stuff in his graveyard, and you're just like, I guess I just lose here. Yep.
Because remember, that also brings back the Seed Rhinos in the deck, yeah, so you're losing exactly 3 from the Seed Rhino, and then you're losing at least another 3 from the Grey Merchant.
Yeah, because say he does it for 5, and he has 2 Grey Merchants and 1 Siege Rhino in the graveyard. That's 3 loss of life just from the Rhino, and then, 5 more Devotion triggered twice for the 2 Grey Merchants. So, yeah, you're losing a lot in one shot there. And
yes.
He's gaining a lot at the same time. So, yeah.
And there, just in case you didn't gain enough, a Ration Cleric in the sideboard.
Yep, very true. So, pretty good deck.
Yeah, why not play this when nobody's running Graveyard Hate at all?
Yeah, well, because there really is none. There's little Graveyard Hate in Standard.
Yeah,
right,
the
now
only thing is Tormod's Crypt, and we haven't said that card in... I don't think we've said that card since it's been released.
No, very,
we haven't
very little
said that card since the last time we've talked about Graveyard Hate, and I was like, we have Tormod's Crypt, and everyone's like, I guess we do. We never see it, and we moved on.
Yep.
So, yeah, there and, we go.
Yep, same situation. We still haven't seen it, so... Anyway, that's the SCG Open. We're starting to see pretty much a lot of the same decks, very little innovation, but we're only a couple of weeks away from Origins, which I believe is going to completely shake up the format.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and we don't really have any major events between now and Origins either.
Not for Star City.
Nope. And that's going to close out the SCG Open. Let's move right on to the Grand Prix. It was Grand Prix Buenos Aires, which I think is somewhere in Asia. Right, Chad? Is it China?
Buenos Aires is
China,
that sounds
right?
Like it's in Australia.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Right.
I'm done.
Renee. Renee, where is it?
I'm done.
You know this is why we need you, Renee.
I'm done.
Okay.
It's in Argentina.
Oh, right. Okay.
South America, you know, all those people who don't get enough GPs and PPTQs and RPTQs down there.
Yeah.
Like, huge community, not enough events. You guys need more events. Wizards, give them more events. So yeah. I can, like, say more names and put these two to shame.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough. Now, if you look at the main coverage page for this, and you look at the pull-down menu, that you know how you can go to the top 8 from a pull-down menu?
Is it in order?
It is in order.
Holy bejeebus!
Yeah. So, but nice. Don't click on the article that says top 8 deck list, because that is not
because
in
that's
order.
Not
right. So,
that's what I did.
But yeah, if you go to this pull down menu, starting with the winner, Pascal Maynard.
Chewy, it's great. Actually in order.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
How
what you're
long
saying.
Has Chewy been complaining about this?
Since the new website launched. Actually, I think it was even before the new website. I think so too. Yeah. So,
I'm sorry, now I'm done.
Yeah, well, so let's just start off with the winner, Pascal Maynard, which everybody knows his name by now. He's the famous foil Goyf stealer.
Stealer. Oh, that's great.
I wasn't sure how to put it, but yeah, it's everybody knows him now, and
He wins the year.
Yeah.
The only thing I can say about this is he must have gotten the money because he can afford to go to this GP.
Exactly. And that's the thing, that when as soon as this whole controversy with him taking that Goif hit, he said, you know, I took it because I do need money to get to these other GPs, otherwise I couldn't go to these other GPs. Now he's got tons of money to spend on traveling to GPs, and look at this. He wins the one he gets to go to.
And he's destroying it. Nice. Oh, yeah.
So I guess we should actually talk about his list, maybe?
Yeah, we haven't seen this in too long. Okay. I don't think this is topped in a while.
All right, what's he got?
He's playing Abzan Megamorph Control. Let's just call it Abzan Control, and you'll know why it's Megamorph. Planeswalkers, he's running 3 Elspeth Champion because the creatures are way too big nowadays. He's got 4 Den Protectors and 3 Deathmiss Raptors. That's why it's Megamorph. He's running 4 Siege Rhinos, 4 Courser of Krufix, and 4 Satyr Wayfinder. For sorceries, 4 Thoughtseize, 1 Crux of Fate, and 1 End Hostilities. Instance, he's running 4 Abzan Charm, 3 Heroes Downfall, and 1 Ultimate Price. So it's a pretty stock list, pretty straightforward. He knows what he wants and how to get there. Yep. The one thing that stands out to me is the Satyr Wayfinders in place of Sylvan Caryatid. So that was interesting.
Yeah, but you know what? When you're running 4 Den Protectors, the Satyr Wayfinders isn't a bad thing.
Yes, that's true.
It helps you mana fix, gives you an early 2 drop, and then if you mill away something you actually wanted, you can just bring it back with the Den Protector.
True. Now, go ahead.
I was going to say, I find it curious that he's running 1 Crux of Fate and 1 End Hostilities. Like, why the split?
As far as not 2 Crux of Fate?
Yeah, or even 2 End Hostilities, I guess.
So which would you choose in that position?
I'd probably pick Crux, because Crux allows you to cast it for dragons if you're playing against, like, Esper Dragons, and not killing any of your creatures while killing your opponent's creatures. Because he has 0 dragons in this deck.
Yes, and that makes sense. I feel he went for the split. Just the only reason I would say it is maybe mana. Maybe he was thinking he'll hit black sometimes, white sometimes.
Yeah, because I mean he's kind of depending on either 2 black or 2 white, which I don't know. It feels weird. I mean, granted, he won the thing, so he obviously knows what he's doing. But just on paper, it just looks strange.
Exactly.
I like the split going to a GP because sometimes you need the nuke button and just completely reset the board.
Yeah.
Other times you can have the more selective board wipe, and that works fantastically. I'm actually a little confused why in the sideboard we have a second End Hostilities in the sideboard, but we don't have a second Crux of Fate.
Yeah.
So my thought would be, once you know what they're on, take out the other that you don't need and put in the other one.
It would make sense. Okay. Maybe he's just again on the Den Protector plan, thinking if he needs a second Crux of Fate, he'll just bring it back.
Exactly, and I mean at that point, then you can take out the End Hostilities or the Crux of Fate, depending on which one was more relevant, and be able to bring something else more relevant in, because you can see he has a lot of one-ofs.
Yeah, and again, that's the beauty of Den Protector. It's such a good card. It allows you to have all these one-ofs and kind of turns your deck into a utility deck when you're filling your graveyard with cards like Satyr Wayfinder.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet. So congratulations to Pascal Maynard, and hopefully this is just a nice big middle finger to all those people who called him out for taking that Goif. Now he can afford to go to GPs and beat all of your butts. So
winning.
Second place.
Hashtag winning.
Second place. Anybody want to take a guess?
Marcos Paulo de Jesus.
Yes. And he's playing the good old, quote-unquote, red-green devotion. Come on, it's green-red devotion.
Yeah, it's green-red devotion.
And the only big difference I see in this one, he's running 4 Xenagos as opposed to 2 or 3 that some of the others
and
run.
2 Arbor Colossus.
That makes a lot of sense. Like, Arbor Colossus makes a whole lot of sense. In a world full of dragons, absolutely.
Who needs Plummet when you have it on a body?
Yep.
Yeah, a really big body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In third and fourth place, we have some Mardu Dragons variants. It's still a good deck. I like the 2 Hidden Dragon Slayers in Fabio's list. The guy who's in fourth is not running any of those. I like Hidden Dragon Slayer. I think he's a really good card.
You think it's suited for...
Go ahead.
Okay. So you think it's suited for this type of deck? Like more of a Mardu deck? Well, or do you think it should be one of those that can be paired up with a Megamorph combo?
I think it can could be paired up in like a green-white Megamorph deck or in this, because I think he's just good in the current metagame. So many creatures are four power or greater?
Yeah.
Yeah, like so many creatures in the format are four power or greater, and he's just a very solid body, and he fits into any deck that can play him, I think, for the most part.
Cool. All right.
But yeah, I like these Mardu variants. These are two pretty different lists. I mean, they're both running Kolaghans, Stormbreath Dragons, and Thunderbreaks, but they've got a couple of different spells here and there.
So one's more of a mid-range list versus the other one, which is a little bit more on the faster side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still no Dragon Lord.
No.
Oh, Kolaghan?
Just the Dasher.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, which honestly, Kolaghan the Storm's Fury is probably a better card, but
not when I had to sit there and have somebody really think about what order they were casting their spells in so that they didn't die at 9 life, and then I cast Kolaghan.
Nice. Speaking of dragons, in 5th place we had good old Esper Dragons back from the dead.
I love this guy's name. Nicholas Di Nicola.
Nice. Nothing special about this one, right? Pretty much your typical Esper Dragon flavor.
Yep.
And then we close out with 3 different Abzan decks, 2 aggros, and a control. Again, nothing we haven't seen already.
Herald of Torment making a comeback in Chiapa's list.
Okay.
Wingmate Rock are in both Abzan aggro lists, so that's also making a comeback.
Yep.
And then the control. I really like this control list.
Anything special in this that
we're
really
seeing Sorin again?
Yeah.
Sorin was gone for a little while. He stopped visiting.
Well, and it's funny, too, that he even made it this far, because with Mardu making such a comeback, Sorin just hates that card because Crackling Doom hurts him so bad. When you drop a Sorin and go minus, and then your opponent casts Crackling Doom to kill your 2/2 flyer and Sorin at the same time, that's pretty brutal.
I can see that.
Yeah. But yep, and that's the top 8. They listed the top 32 deck lists for the event as well. Did anyone see anything else special in the top 32?
No, pretty much looking at the same stuff.
Yeah.
There's a mono red, a Sidisi Whip in 12th place.
That was the one I was going to mention, yeah. Running good old Sidisi Brood Tyrant and a 1 of Sidisi Undead Vizier and a 2 Whip of Erebos deck. But this is back to the Megamorph version that's running Deathmist Raptors and Den Protectors, so you only need 2 whips.
Yep.
I am very confused by the Naya Mastery in 17th place by Craig Wesco.
Good old Craig Wesco. Now, what is confusing about this?
Why isn't there at least one Dromoka?
No.
If you're going to go Naya Dragons, get all of them in there and reduce your Valorous Stances, because when I played this deck, Valorous Stance was more than often not the dead card.
Really?
Whereas Dromoka made them take off a turn in order to deal with it.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess I could see that, because this is essentially a green devotion, you know, splashing red for Atarka and Xenagos, and then white for Valorous Stance and Mastery of the Unseen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess like a 1 of Dromoka wouldn't hurt. I don't know what you'd replace, like, unless you're saying like go down a Valorous Stance.
Yeah, go down a Valorous Stance or a 1 of the dorks, because this many dorks is just bad. In my opinion. I mean, he got the 17th place. When I played it, I was having issues.
Yep. There's a pretty neat teamer list in 19th place, running 3 Sarkhan Unbroken.
Ooh.
Yeah. Guy that doesn't get much love these days. And he's also running 3 Xenagos the Reveler on top of that. So, yeah, this is a pretty neat looking list. But again,
and Reality Shift.
Oh, you know what? This is the first time I think I've seen that, like, being played in a legitimate standard deck.
First time I've seen it in a deck outside of one of Trevor's. Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, exactly what you said.
Yeah, it's a decent card. It gets rid of a lot of problems and just gives your opponent a 2/2 manifest. Going down the rest of the list, I don't see anything else worthy of my time, so we'll just move on. Big thing, though, huge congrats to Pascal Maynard. Way to show them all you know, who the man is.
There you go.
Now, do we want to talk about the news that broke this week as far as, like, the coverage and the potential rules change?
Yeah, I think we should just That's definitely going to be an elephant in the room if we don't talk about it, so why not?
Okay, so...
I like elephants in the room. Why are we going to kick it out?
Not purple elephants, a real elephant.
No, we're just going to acknowledge that he's here, you know, and talk about him.
Pat him on the head and, you know, get a ride.
All right, so first of all, let's do the mulligan thing first. With the upcoming Pro Tour, Pro Tour Origins, is that right?
Yes.
They're trying something new with mulligans. Basically, if you mulligan down to six or less cards, once you decide you're going to keep your opening hand, you get to scry one. It's just as a way to kind of keep the games from becoming, I don't know, just completely over before they even start, if somebody has to mulligan.
So I feel this is definitely more relevant in limited.
Yeah, and I think that's what they said that this was intended for the most part.
Still, it's going to affect every format.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. First of all, just to remind everybody, this is not an official Magic the Gathering every format rule. Right now, they're only trying it out in the Pro Tour, I think, as kind of a testing bed to see if this is somewhere they want to go in, the overall rules. So, first of all, what do you guys think about the rule in general? Chad?
Well... I didn't think the game was broken to begin with, because that's what it seems like they're trying to do, fix something. Mm-hmm. But whenever I mulliganed, obviously there's going to be times, even on MTGO, when you get the shuffler bad and you have a full hand of six with no lands, the option to scry would be nice. But like I said, I feel like the game is well how it is. It's just luck of the draw. Sometimes you have to have the heart of the cards. And... I feel like they're giving in to pressure of people complaining that this happens sometimes. Okay. So that's my opinion on it.
All right, fair enough. Renee, what do you say?
I think it's interesting. I don't think it'll affect Standard as much as maybe some of the other formats.
Okay.
I can see it doing a lot for Legacy Miracles.
Cool.
Honestly, yeah. because if they have the Miracle on the top of the deck, they can chip to the bottom and not have it sitting in their hand.
Yeah.
So I definitely see it having an upside for some select decks.
Okay.
I don't think it'll be enough of an impact on everybody, because remember, you're going down to six cards, then you also have to factor in the likelihood of you drawing exactly what you need in those six cards to have one more card be super relevant. Mm-hmm. And then you're also weighing that against the 54 other cards in your deck. Do I keep this card, or do I maybe ship this one to the bottom and try my luck on the next one? I think it's going to be more skill intensive.
Yeah.
Because you really have to remember the ratios in your deck.
Yep. And kind of what I was going to say is I think this might actually get people to play a little bit sloppier, I guess. Because everybody's drawn that opening seven. Where it's like, oh my god, if I just top a land, you know, I'm golden, I'm set. But you never really know if you're going to top that land. And I could see people mulling down to six with a one land hand and thinking, oh man, if I just have another land on top, I'm golden. And they decide to keep, and then they go to scry and there's no land. And then they draw and it's not another land. And I think it's going to convince people to play a little more recklessly and not kind of go with what's in your hand, what you know for sure. So I think this could almost be a trap.
Yeah.
If they make it, you know, game-wide, if they do make this a game-wide rule.
Yeah, I also see a lot more judge calls happening because people aren't going to realize if they've scryed at the time, or they're going to be thinking too much about the card that they looked at. Maybe it should go to the bottom, maybe it shouldn't. They're going to look at the next one. I think there's going to be a lot of polishing to do if they make this real.
So
I think what they've said continuously is that they don't want to punish players for feeling they have to take a mulligan.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want, and a lot of pros have said that figuring out how to mulligan is the most important part of the game.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that this is the happy meeting point of, you know, we want you to mulligan if you don't have the hand. Here, we're going to ease the sting a little bit by not making it so much about card advantage, but the quality of what you have.
Yeah, but, I mean, the games have to have sting. It can't be handed to everybody as soon as they want it. That's the reason I'm complaining about this. Because it's this now, what is it going to be later? Because somebody's going to find something to complain about that they don't like, and I don't know. It's just what I'm seeing. And then they go on with changing the people have to play a certain way if they're on coverage. So
yeah, and that was the next thing we were going to hop into. We'll call this the Adrian Sullivan rule, where now you're not allowed to play, if you're on coverage, you're not allowed to play with lands in front anymore. You have to have your lands in the back, creatures in the front. They basically just have a designated way they want people to lay out their cards on coverage.
You just cut out for a second.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, it was just like real a very, quick. Might have been one word.
Okay.
But it was fine.
But yeah, I think this is fine. I don't think this is a huge deal. I understand where they're coming from a coverage perspective. It's not the end of the world. Very few people actually play with the lands in front. Sorry, Chris Lansdale. Yeah, it's not a huge deal in my opinion.
Yeah, so whenever I watched Adrian Sullivan on coverage or people that would put their lands in the front, I always felt it interesting. I didn't look at it as like, what is that guy doing? That looks weird. Because obviously it looks weird because it's not the way I play.
Yeah.
But the big thing is I'm looking at it and somebody's got a different way of playing the game, or somebody's got a different way of looking at the cards than I do. And it makes me think outside the box. So making everybody sheep, in my opinion, on coverage on camera is just like, why not let people... They're playing your game, so why not let them play the way they enjoy it? It's one of those things where I feel it's just you're just throwing a dart at problems that and seeing where it sticks.
That's true, because yeah, I mean, I've never heard of anybody complaining about the way these guys play on coverage. People talk about it like it's interesting, it's different, it's weird. But
I mean,
don't
get
me
wrong.
Bad.
If I played against Adrian Sullivan, I'd be like, dude, why do you do this? Like, I'd have to ask that question.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be like, you have to turn your lands around.
Yeah. So, Renee, any opinion on this?
Not really. I've played with so many people who play with lands in front that I'm just... To me, it's just as much as it is with my hands. Like, I'm ambidextrous. I just have to accustom myself to that way of thinking as well. And if you can't be that flexible, then what are you doing with your life?
Yeah. All right, fair enough. So that's the news from the week. Now, we've also had a whole bunch of cards spoiled for Magic Origins.
So much.
And we just don't have the time to go over them all this episode. So we each just picked two cards we wanted to talk about that have been spoiled over the last few days. And I'm going to start off with Goblin Piledriver. Holy crap. This is one card I honestly never would have expected them to reprint, to put in Standard or reintroduce to Modern, or introduce to Modern and reintroduce to Standard. This card is so good. And for anybody not familiar, I'll go ahead and read it real quick. It's one in a red for a Goblin Warrior. It's a 1/2. Has protection from blue. Whenever Goblin Piledriver attacks, it gets +2/+0 until end of turn for each other attacking goblin. Holy crap.
Yeah, now that's kind of monstrous.
Are you kidding me? In a world of Goblin Rabble Master, Hordling Outburst, Dragon Fodder, and something else we're going to talk about in a little bit, how is this guy not just completely broken in Standard?
I think it's going to make a big impact on Standard for sure.
Yeah.
The whole protection from blue right now in Standard doesn't really do too much.
Yeah.
But
it could be more relevant than you think. But yeah, that's not the big selling point. The selling point is the fact that he gets +2/+0 for each other attacking goblin. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Right now he's basically Goblin Rabble Master on steroids.
Yeah. So I'm assuming they're not reprinting Rabble Master in Origins. Otherwise, we would be we'd be hurting for the next year.
Yeah.
But and the fact that this guy is being introduced to Modern is huge. It's already had an impact on a couple of Modern card prices just since this was announced. And yeah, I think Modern Goblins is going to be a real thing. So be on the lookout. And who's next?
Oh, Renee.
Yes. So we're going all green tonight, and I want to talk about Evolutionary Leap.
Okay.
Because I really love playing with Survival of the Fittest, and this is just a slightly less better Survival of the Fittest.
Okay.
It is an enchantment. It's one in a green. It reads, green, sacrifice a creature, reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a creature card. Put that card into your hand and the rest onto the bottom of your library in a random order.
Very nice. Yeah, when I first read the spoiler, I was thinking, oh my god, it's going to say put it onto the battlefield, isn't it? Thankfully, no. Thankfully, it only goes to your hand.
Yeah. So, I have plans for this card.
Do you?
I do.
Do you care?
Because now we have a sac outlet.
That's true. But I mean, how good is this going to be, really? Because
so you pair this with Athreos.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So when you sack a dude, they either have to pay 2 life or that creature also goes back to your hand.
All right, all right.
It's only 1 green to really activate the sack outlet, which is completely fair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, whatever, I'll take it. Like, this seems awesome. And then you also have creatures where, like, there's just a whole bunch of stuff from Theros that has a lot of sack outlet potential, and we never got that sack outlet. So I don't know if this will necessarily be tier 1, but it's definitely something I'm looking forward to messing around with and seeing what comes of it, because I've been waiting for this for, like, almost a year now.
All right, fair enough. All right, Chad, what you got?
All right, my card, while Renee's going all green, I am going all control.
Okay.
My first card is Talent of the Telepath. It's 2 and 2 blue. So 2 and blue, blue. It's a sorcery. It's a rare. Target opponent reveals the top 7 cards of his or her library. You may cast an instant or sorcery card from among them without paying its mana cost. Then that player puts the rest into his or her graveyard. It also has spell mastery. If there are 2 or more instant cards in your instant or sorcery cards in your graveyard, you may cast up to 2 revealed instant or sorcery cards instead of 1.
Interesting. Now, to me, this seems like it's going to be strictly for a sideboard. Like they.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely need to know the decks that you're playing against. Like, you're not going to want to play this against the green-red devotion because you're not going to hit anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see this as a main board card in a black-white or, I'm sorry, a blue-white or a blue-black control deck being casted later, especially black, because you have Thoughtseize. You're able to know what they're on. And I know that sometimes you don't want to have dead cards in your hand, but I don't know. I just see this being very good, especially if you get it against a red player. You take 2 Stoke of Flames from them. I don't know. I like it.
Yeah. But again, we've seen a lot of these green-red devotion lists that don't run any instants or sorceries. So that's why I would be really scared to run this in the main. But in like a control mirror or in like an Abzan matchup, this would probably be fantastic.
Yes.
So there are a lot of people saying that this is good for prowess.
Oh, I can see
makes
that.
Sense.
Yeah, because you get potentially 3 prowess triggers just by casting this. So, yeah, I like that. My second card is Goblin Glory Chaser. You guys are talking about your things. I'm on goblins today.
Yes,
so Goblin Glory Chaser is 1 red. He is a creature, Goblin Warrior. Go figure. He's a 1/1. Okay, not that great so far. He has Renown 1, which, if you've forgotten, if he deals combat damage to a player, if he's not renowned, he becomes renowned, and he gets a +1/+1 counter. He also has the text, as long as Goblin Glory Chaser is renowned, it has Menace, which means it can't be blocked except by 2 or more creatures. So I think mostly after rotation, because before rotation, there are a whole slew of goblin spells available to red. But when they lose cards like Foundry Street Denizen, things like that, this guy is going to be the perfect one-drop for a goblin deck.
I think this deck could replace Monastery Swift Spear in the goblin decks that are playing right now.
Yeah, like we saw that goblin deck earlier at the, I think it was the Star City Open, the mono red goblin deck. Yeah, this could replace that in that deck if you're already running Pile Driver, because you'd probably rather just have more goblins on the field. So I could see that. I don't think he's better than like Foundry Street right now, but we're not going to have access to that for much longer. So he'll be good in the goblin decks post rotation for sure.
Okay. So I think the first week of Origins, we're playing a lot of Drown in Sorrows.
That would probably be very smart. Or Anger of the Gods, same kind of deal. But yeah, expect to see a lot of goblins going forward. All right, Renee, what's your next card?
So this one was just spoiled right around the time when we started recording.
Ooh.
Yes. It is Outland Colossus. He is 3 green green. He is a giant. He has Renown 6.
What?
wait, where is this?
Oh, yeah, it's on Mythic Spoiler. It's if you go to
that's
Mythic
Spoiler.
Well,
maybe I need to refresh
click,
it.
Click Newest Spoilers at the top left.
Oh, all right, I got him. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Renown 6.
Wow.
Holy crap. Go ahead. I'm not
going
to do it.
Yeah, well, keep going. Yeah, let's.
Outland Colossus can't be blocked by more than 1 creature. He's a 6/6 for 5.
That's retarded.
Gets 6 more.
Wow. That's pretty good. At least if in limited, for sure, this guy's going to be just an absolute bomb. For constructed, I could see him fitting in to the mono green decks.
I could see him fitting in more than that. Yeah,
and the fact that he cannot be blocked by more than one creature is pretty good.
I want to know where my Rancor is.
Oh, jeez. Yeah,
exactly.
Wow. Yeah, that's...
Give me Rancor or give me death.
Yeah, that's really good. I like him.
I thought we had something that gave trample in this format already.
Is it Rancor? No, then it doesn't matter.
Well, that's not Farinate. This would be completely broken.
Well, you've got Nalia. She gives all your creatures trample.
Yeah, we've got Nylea. And in the set, we have Mana Gorger Hydra, which has trample. But I'm not seeing anything that gives, like, an Anthem trample.
No. But he's the type of guy you could drop him on turn 3 with a couple of mana dorks and really just start swinging in for big damage. He has, like, no evasion to speak of.
His evasion is only being blocked
being
by one
a
creature.
6/6?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He isn't
his evasion
dying
is
language.
you have to block me.
Yeah.
That's what it is. He's like Pelucranus, basically.
Yeah.
And I think this is it. This is Pelucranus's replacement. Because you have to throw something in front of him or else he's gonna get way too disgusting.
Yeah.
So you really do just throw this guy in a black green like control deck and he's your win con? Because he gets around almost all of the black kill spells right now that, you know, all creatures get -4/-4, or all creatures get -3/-2/-2, or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, Renee, I don't want to make you have a heart attack, but green, red devotion, the Zen of God might be used again.
Yes.
Because he gives trample, doesn't he?
I think so. I know he gives haste and +X/+X.
Maybe he doesn't give trample. Maybe I'm wrong. Zen.
I think he does.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Nope, that's the wrong Xenagos. Hold on. Here we go.
No, it's just haste. That was my bad.
I just normally pair him with Nylea.
Yeah.
Yes, it seems
like green devotion is going to be great.
I mean, even still, a 12/12 haster guy that can just get bigger. He only gets bigger.
Yeah, because the next time it'd be 24/24.
Yes!
Oh, God. Sick. So sick.
Love my life right now.
Now, one thing, before we move on to Chad's last card, I do want to say, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but with Origins, it looks like every monocolor is getting a lot of love, where, like, from a devotion standpoint, like, you can see a mono-white devotion list coming out of this, or the return of mono-black devotion. It seems like they're really kind of giving devotion one last big hoorah before Theros rotates.
Exactly.
So.
I also have liked that a lot of the cards are catering towards other formats other than just limited.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's going to cater a lot towards standard because it changes, because everything shifts. But I like that, like you said, Pile Driver is good in modern. Mm-hmm. All the Planeswalkers are now going to be good in EDH. There's Tiny Leaders gets all the Planeswalkers. And I wouldn't be surprised if Legacy saw some of these cards move in. I haven't seen anything stand out, but...
Well, I mean, Pile Driver himself is a Legacy staple. So.
Yeah, I guess that.
But, alright, let's keep moving on. Chad, what's your last card?
Yeah, to finish this off, it's a black card. It's Infinite Obliteration. It's 1BB, a sorcery. Name a creature card. Search target opponent's graveyard, hand, and library for any number of cards with that name and exile them. Then that player shuffles his or her library. With playing so many 4-ofs nowadays, with all the Atarkas running around, there's definitely cards that, just from the first land they put down, say it be Sandstep Citadel or Wooded Foothills, you're going to know exactly what card you want to call.
Yeah.
So I could see this being some, maybe even a mono black control. I don't know how deep that is, but I could see this card being very good going forward.
Yeah, it's, again, this stands out as total sideboard card to me, but mm-hmm. I can't wait for somebody to cast this against like Esper Dragons and naming Ojutai and then watching them cry. So,
and that's what I mean. Like, there's so many stable cards.
Yeah.
So this fits right in.
It's like Slaughter Games.
Yeah, yeah,
but a little bit worse.
Yeah, see, it can be countered.
But better costed.
Right, so...
I don't know what to do with my life.
Yeah, I think it'll be a decent sideboard card for as long as it's in standard. I don't know how much play it'll get, but you'll see it here and there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we saw Stain the Mind occasionally in the sideboard for, you know, the more aggressive decks that also needed a small bit of control in the second and third games to really push them over the edge.
Yeah.
So... I think this is completely fair to cost because you're not having to tap your creatures to really play it on a reasonable turn.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So, all right, let's keep moving here. That's the end of spoilers for now. Hopefully once the full spoiler is out, I think it's the end of this week, right?
Yeah, it should be Monday.
Yep, so...
Monday next week.
So, yeah, next time we record, we should know the full spoiler, and then maybe we'll do a much more spoilerific episode. But for now, let's move right into our three questions for the cast. Every week, each member of the cast asks a question, we all answer, and one of these will be our listener poll. I vote for mine being the listener poll, but you know me. I never get to be the poll, so...
yours isn't even about standard.
It kind of is.
No, it isn't.
I hate you
guys. Don't even mention, like, you reintroduced into standard. Okay, whatever.
All right,
that doesn't
fine.
Mean it's going to be played there.
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and start with my question. And go it is, we were talking about Goblin Pile Driver earlier. So with him being introduced to Modern through Origins, what other legacy-only staple would you guys like to see reintroduced to standard and introduced to Modern for the first time? We'll start with Renee.
Bayou.
Okay, something that's not on the reserve list.
I don't know. I don't play Legacy.
You should be familiar with some of those cards.
Not really.
I just assumed Force of Will would be on everybody's tongue.
It's blue. So much of Legacy is just blue.
Yeah.
I mean, can I get a Gaia's Cradle, I guess? Like, does that count?
I don't think that's on the reserve list. I think that's probably way too broken to be printed in standard, but you never
you
know.
You didn't say if it was broken or not.
Okay, fair enough. I'll give you that. So is that your answer, Gaia's Cradle?
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I can really think of that I would like.
All right, Chad, what about you?
So you're going to have to tell me if this is in Modern or not. High Tide.
No, that's not. That's definitely old school.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, so yeah, I'd like to see High Tide re-released. Or actually, now that I just thought about it, Show and Tell.
Yeah.
I think Show and Tell being released in Modern would put a lot of things into perspective. It would be able to shut down a lot of the Splinter Twin decks. It'd be more of a race. It'd be enjoyable, I think, to watch.
Okay.
And at the same time, Show and Tell has ways to be shut down now, so...
True.
I definitely think that wouldn't be an unfair card anymore.
Fair enough. For me, I'm all about the red today, it seems like. I would go with Chain Lightning. I think it's not incredibly broken. It's very rarely seen. You only really see it in the mono red burn decks. It's sorcery speed, so it's not as good as Lightning Bolt. I think it's a fine card. I think that could be introduced to standard without too much pain. I'm sure people would still complain about it, but that's just my opinion.
We complain about everything.
That's true. All right, who's next?
I'll go.
Okay.
So, what do you think, and I know Jason might already have this because he's definitely a speculative for costly cards. Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to be the most expensive card in the new set? If you don't think it's been released, then you can say that. And should we buy it now or buy it later?
Well, let me get to the Star City spoiler card. Pre-order page.
Well, she's looking at that. I'm going to say long-term, it's going to be Goblin Pile Driver. But, you know, he's a reprint, he's a legacy staple, so that's kind of a cheap way out. If we're talking new cards, I'm going to say Liliana Heretical Healer. I think she is probably the most playable of all of the new Planeswalkers. She's playable in Eternal formats, whereas... none of these really are. Maybe Gideon.
I think you've been out of the country too long.
Really?
Yeah.
Why, did I miss something? Or
So on the Top Level podcast.
I don't know what that is.
With Chapin. No. He was saying Nissa was the best.
What?
Yes,
Walker
I've heard that.
Of
he this did, he did say that.
He is out of his mind.
No, I mean, I
you heard it here
easily.
First. Patrick Chapin is insane.
Okay, you know why Chapin's saying that? Because Star City isn't pre-selling enough of them, so they're like, hey, tell them this is the best card.
They've been out
It's a
of print.
conspiracy.
They have been out for a while. They're out of stock at $20, and I've had the reset alert on, so Trevor got them for me at $20, and who knows how much they will go up once they're back in print.
That card is awful. Are you kidding me?
I think for standard, it's going to be good. I think for standard, it's going to be a staple.
All right, fair enough. Well, I gave you my opinion, so...
I just think you've been out of the country too long.
Okay, that it could be. It could be.
Renee, your go. Is Nissa your answer?
No, actually, Kytheon is my answer. Because he's going to fill
Gideon?
In... Yeah, Kytheon okay. Gideon, yes. Kytheon Gideon.
Okay.
He fills in, actually, a really good hole that exists in the modern Hate Bears.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then he also, like, he flips it and he does more things. He doesn't have a downside.
Yeah, he is
the
really
boy
good.
Slash man doesn't have a downside. He gets indestructible. He's a 2/1 for one. What is this flip effect?
It's like two other attacking creatures.
If three creatures attack.
Yeah. He's got to get Battlecry.
He comes back. And you can use him second main phase. And then you give your dudes indestructible in that second main phase.
Yeah.
He's bonkers.
All right.
And we haven't talked about White Owl all this episode.
Who?
And we haven't talked about any white cards this episode. Oh,
that's true.
All right, Chad, what's your answer?
All right, before I answer, for yours, Jason, Pile Driver, buy now or buy later?
A little bit later, a little bit after release, he's probably going to go down just a hair, but I don't think his price is going to go down much because everybody's going to be trying to pick him up for modern, and he's a 4-of. He's a 4-of in standard decks and modern decks, so I think if he dips down to about 12, 13 bucks, that's a good pickup about then.
Okay. And Renee, Kytheon, buy now or buy later?
Maybe not buy right now, but definitely buy as soon as his price starts to drop. Because as soon as that happens, everyone will pick him up.
Yep. I agree.
All
right. So
I'm
like
going...
right around release when they're all being opened.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the safe bet. We all know what happened with Sylvan Caryatid. Everybody said it's not going to be the next Birds of Paradise, and that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. It's the next Birds of Paradise, so everybody was off of it, and then it shot up to $20, and people were like, why do I have to pay this for mana dorks?
Are you going to say we should buy meteorites?
I was going to say, no, so you can destroy my card. I was going to say Honored Hierarch. Ugh. It is one green... For a 1/1, it's a rare. Renown 1, as long as Honored Hierarch is renowned, which means it had to hit the other player, it has vigilance and add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. So I'm going to choose this because, as we've seen, we always need something to fill in when something goes away. And I think this is going to be the fill-in card for when Elvish Mystic and Sylvan Caryatid go.
I personally... do not like this guy at all. If you don't drop him on turn one, then he is worthless.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's all I'm gonna say about that.
And I'm going to say buy them as right after release, because I feel that these are gonna be just as undermined as Sylvan Caryatid was when it was released.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'd pick them up now before they're at $10.
Yep.
All right, and Renee, what's your question?
That's a good question. Do you think we will get the allied pain lands or other fun lands?
Okay, because we have...
didn't put a lot of fun to this.
Right, well, we've got 5 remaining land slots in Origins. Now, one thing I will say is that some people have broken it down with the names and then the number orders, and they figured it out that the allied colored pain lands could actually not fit, like, the alphabetical number order with what's still has yet to be spoiled, but...
That's funny.
One land cycle that would fit are the Shards of Alara tri-lands.
Okay.
They said that those, if those 5 cards would fit into those 5 numbered slots, it would fit alphabetically. So it could be that. I think somebody said that one other land scheme could fit into that, but I would love to see the Alara tri-lands introduced to Standard. That would be crazy.
That'd be nice.
Let's play 5 color decks, everybody.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, because, and also... we've seen more gold cards in Standard this time around, and we have enemy, and they're ally colors. Like, all the gold cards that they've spoiled are ally colors, are they not? Yeah, because we've got red-green, well,
no,
got
they're
green,
the
black.
Same colors as the pain lands. No, they're no. mixed. Yeah, so we've got mix. Green, white, green, blue. We've got a lot of green cards. Yeah. I really think that this is going to be a cycle, and there's going to be five more of these guys.
Okay, yeah, that would make sense. 10.
But that being the case, we only have enemy-colored dual lands in Origins right now. So that you would think that they'd have to somehow, even if they're just like uncommon tap lands, they'd have to do something to help ally colors out in the limited yeah. environment. So I think the tri-lands would be pretty sweet.
Cool. I think that we are going to, I'll be boring. I think we're going to get the allied pain lands. I think they're just waiting to spoil it because they want everybody to be hoping for something greater. But I mean, if they crack the code and the alpha, it doesn't work out alphabetically, then obviously I'm wrong. But if for some reason WotC just wants to let everybody dangle on the edge of their seat because they are hoping for something greater or something new. I mean, something new would be great because I've always enjoyed when they release new lands, but I think it's going to be the allied pain lands.
Okay, fair enough. And Renee, what's your answer?
So I'm sitting here and I'm actually now looking at all of these lists together eventually at some point. I'm wondering if anybody put the Tempest Pain lands in, but they're very similar to the ones we have now, so I'm not sure if those are really...
Are they the ones that come into play tapped and then they're pain lands?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually be interested to see that item made for the allied lands.
Yeah. I'd only want to see that at uncommon, though. If they tried to print those as rare, that'd just be a joke.
Oh, yeah, they were originally uncommon.
Okay, yeah, I couldn't remember.
I definitely think that would be a way that they don't give as much access to all 10 colors, even though they've said they've wanted all 10 colors.
Yeah.
But still giving us the option to have the other colors available.
All right. Fair enough. And I guess, who do we want to be the listener poll this week?
Not me. I didn't think enough.
All right, yeah, fine. We'll pick Chad because nobody ever likes my questions. So
I want to know what other people think they should buy.
Okay. Fair enough.
Are you using our listeners to spec?
Renee, don't tell them the secrets.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on. Instead of talking about like what we've been playing or what we're going to be playing coming up, let's just talk about what is coming up here at the Gamers Vault. We've been talking about them a lot, and I know you guys mentioned last week about the free standard 1K on July 4th.
Yes.
Yes.
So again, to reiterate, that's this coming weekend, July 4th at noon, I believe, so you're not going to miss the fireworks, don't worry. They're having a free 1K over at Gamers Vault for their big grand opening. It's a standard tournament, and yeah, they're giving out $1,000 worth of prizes for no entry fee. That's pretty good. I am most definitely going to be there. I think, Renee, you said you guys are going, right?
Yep. Trevor is going to be the head judge for that event.
Excellent.
Nice.
And Chad, you were...
I will be in Hershey in Pennsylvania. So negative.
Because you're a loser.
Yeah. I'm a loser.
Who has a stupid family and
damn it.
People that want to spend time
with
him. I don't
know why you people have this. Like, it's useless.
Renee, this is before I met you, Renee.
That's funny. So, yeah, check out Gamers Vault on July 4th, and then you guys announced last week the Higher Standards Open the weekend of July 25th and 26th, which yes. it's official. It's going to be a $5 entry fee for a standard tournament. The grand prize we're going to give out, we've got two boxes we're going to be giving away to first and second. We're going to be giving away a box of Origins and a box of Dragons. Whoever wins first place gets their pick. They can pick either the Origins or the Dragons. Second place gets the other box that the other person doesn't pick. If you two want to scheme in the finals and decide who gets what, it's whatever. That's on you. But there will be a winner. And we'll talk about the winner. We'll probably talk about the whole top eight here on the show. And we're also going to be bringing recording devices. We're going to ask people questions throughout the weekend. We're going to be doing deck techs. We're going to be recording videos. And this is all going to go into the show over the next couple of weeks. And we'll probably put a lot of stuff on the Facebook group. And Sunday, Chad and I are going to be doing a Tiny Leaders Two-Headed Giant Challenge, where Chad and I are going to build a couple of Tiny Leaders decks specifically to play in Two-Headed Giant. We're going to take signups. We're going to have a signup sheet out. People can sign up to play against us. It's going to be free. And anybody that beats us, they each get a pack of Origins. And that's it. So,
yeah, and while that is happening, there will be other events going on.
Yeah, we're going to try and get together some Commander games and possibly even a Tiny Leaders tournament. We'll have to talk to the store owners about what other events we can muster up and see what kind of demand we get for events that day. But yeah,
and I'm sure that if we have a demand for like a draft or something, or even an 8-man win a box, we can work that out. It's really just meant to be a fun weekend of Magic.
Yes. And you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to get together a wacky draft on Sunday.
That would be hella fun.
I know. I'd maybe like a half a box of Conspiracy mixed with just like every pack from Standard. And just do like a crazy wacky draft. So hopefully I can get enough interest in that to get that to fire off on Sunday. But yeah, the big thing is the Standard event on Saturday. And Renee, you want to talk about the raffle?
The whole weekend we're going to have a raffle set up. Due to all of how each of us is touched by mental illness and some of the other events that have been going on in the communities recently, we felt that it would be a really poignant thing to actually have a raffle set up where when you buy a ticket, we will donate all of the proceeds to NAMI, which is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. They run a lot of really good programs nationwide, ranging from crisis hotlines to suicide prevention hotlines. They support groups that try to run free group therapies for people who may not have the money to actually pay for therapy, just to kind of get them the resources that are needed. They also do some research, I believe, and all of these other different things that they're absolutely fantastic with. So you're going to get one entry with your $5 to get into the Standard tournament.
Yes.
You can buy more. We're going to figure out that ratio over the next few weeks, and we'll have it posted. If you can't come because you're in a different part of the country, but still want to donate and get a raffle, I will be having my PayPal up so I can monitor people, and I will write the raffle tickets down, and we will be drawing them all throughout the weekend and giving away different playmats. We have a Tropical Island, I think.
Yep, Tropical Island.
Yep.
Yeah, we all pitched in for that. So that's probably going to be the biggest prize that we're going to give away through these raffles. But I know I personally am going to be giving away at least 3 playmats. I've got some Manipool sleeves and some other fun swag. So we're going to be giving away a lot of free goodies the whole weekend. Yes.
If you happen to be a Puka Trade person, I'm going to try and round up, since you can buy Puka Trade points. That way, if somebody wants to get the Puka Trade points rather than one of the actual objects because they have enough playmats or whatever, we can give that to your username, and I'll have Puka Trade up as well, so I can do that right then and there as well as we do this stuff. If you want to donate Puka Trade points, please get in touch with me, because that would be fantastic if I don't have to buy a whole bunch of these things, because I've already put a lot of money.
Yeah, I still need to get onto that Puka Trade, too. I keep saying I'm gonna, and I never do. But the thing that aggravates me about it is the fact that it's, like, only near mint cards, which...
Yeah, so you can do... Sorry.
Medic!
You can do private... Yeah, I know, right? You can do private trades with people. So if if you contact them because you have a card, and then you're like, so I have it in this condition, here are some pictures of it. I will take less Puka points if you are interested in this. I know you can arrange that.
Okay.
Because we've done that for a couple of our high-value cards that we've sent out. Can you put a deposit on this and then give me the rest when it gets there and that kind of stuff.
Cool. All right. Keep an ear out for more details for the Higher Standards Open. But just, remember July 25th and 26th at Gamers Vault. It's going to be a lot of fun. Final thoughts? You guys got anything else you want to mention before we close out the show?
Pre-releases soon. I will be pre-releasing mostly at Alternate Universes in Wilmington, Delaware.
Okay.
It is also a great shop with a really fun community. So please come down, join us, see me.
That's the weekend. I'm sorry, that's like the weekend of the 11th and 12th, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so not this weekend, but the following weekend is pre-release.
Okay.
Also, if you are interested, if you live in this area, so our New Jersey, Southern Pennsylvania, Delaware area, and are interested in becoming a judge, get in touch with Trevor so he can start to mentor you along and get you set up with him out too.
Actually, you can tell him that I'm interested. I've actually been wanting to do this for a while.
Nice.
So, yeah, just, I mean, you can talk to Trevor. I don't need to talk to Trevor for you.
I have to talk to him?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right, fair enough. All right.
I have to do it every day. I think you can suffer for a few.
Sorry, Trevor. We love you, man. Anything else before we move it on to Chad?
No.
I was asking Renee.
Sorry.
Go listen to the Imps Prison episode that I'm on. I think it came out really good. There are a lot of points that we didn't necessarily cover. Feel free to email me with questions or concerns or comments. Get in touch with me on Twitter about it. I don't really care. I just want this conversation to not go away and then us be surprised 3 months when another article comes up.
Exactly. All right. Fair enough. Chad, what you got for us?
Nothing. I'm glad that all three of us were able to get back on. And yeah. Looking forward to the pre-release. Jason, I believe you and I are still slotted for the 12th, it will be, at 5 o'clock, for a Two-Headed Giant.
Of course. Always. We are the Two-Headed Giant Kings.
Yes.
So we gotta keep the streak alive. So, yeah, I'm just happy to be back recording. I'm really looking forward to post-Origin Standard. I think the format's going to get shaken up so much again, and I think it needs it because it was great. It was a nice shift after Dragons came out, but as we're starting to see the same decks over and over again, it's going to be nice to see another set introduced and, see the format shaken up again. And everything else these guys said. Go listen to Renee's other shows. So let's move right into some shout-outs, because I do want to give a big shout-out to all of the listeners. We got our download numbers in for April and May, and Higher Standards is one of the highest-rated shows on MTGcast. It's really the only shows that are doing consistently better numbers than us are the three of the old, long, long-running shows. So that makes me feel really good that we're getting a lot of people listening to us, and I hope we're, if not helping, at least providing some entertainment for people that enjoy the standard format. And again, thank you to everybody that listens and downloads the show. And yeah, keep it up, because standard's going to get really fun over the next several months.
I agree. And for those of you guys that just want to keep in contact with us, the best way to do it is join our Facebook page. Just put in Facebook and search Higher Standards. It's the first group that comes up.
Yep. Very good. So, Renee, you got anything?
I want to say hi and thank you to all the people I ran into at Baltimore. I shared the show with a lot of people, so hopefully we get some contact back from that. And that's kind of... Oh, and thank you to Dick. I was there at the shop on Sunday, and there's a woman's room, a dedicated woman's room. It's amazing. Nice. And also the list of rules that they have, I was posting this to Twitter and everyone was like, this is fantastic. So thank you, Dick, for doing such a great job. And Bob. I met Bob. Yep. So thank you, guys.
Yeah, the floor space they have in there is amazing. They're doing so many good things with this shop. You would be doing yourself a disservice if you were anywhere in the Jersey area and you don't go to this store, because it is turning out to be something phenomenal.
Something that Trevor wanted to do was actually, it might be an idea for Sunday. Mm-hmm. He has these packs of just random cards that are 200, or I'm sorry, I don't know how many cards are in there, but they're like $2.50. Trevor wants to do sealed with those.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be down for trying something like that.
So you do $5 and we figure out some prize support and you pick up one of these things out of the bin they have them in and you make a sealed deck. That sounds wonderful.
Perfect. Cool. All right, sounds good. Well, with that, we're going to go ahead and close out the show. Guys, glad I was able to record even though I'm still not home. I'll be in the comfort of my own home next week. Chad, are you going to be out of town still next week? Are you going to be able to record?
I should be available Sunday, yes.
Okay, good, because I'm sure we'll have tales from the July 4th Standard 1K. And until then, we'll be back.